It has been said that if you speak to the pain and the hurt in people's lives, you will never lack for an audience. In other words, speak of the turmoil, the ache, the confusion, and the emptiness which are prevalent in our society and in people's lives, and you will always have a listening ear, willing to listen what you have to say. And that is precisely what Jesus does in our text this morning from John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world give, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Twice the word peace appears in this brief verse. It's a popular word, and yet it's an almost impossible reality. It is a constant pursuit, a longing, a deep desire, an ever-present chasing of it, a wishing to have it, but finding it impossible to get hold of it, as it is difficult and impossible to get hold of the wind or even our own shadows. I give credit to people for wishing to pursue it and for chasing for it. But sadly, we know that the world as we know it, in spite of all its technological advancements, in spite of its financial prowess and powers, in spite of its many claims of progress, freedoms, and intellectual developments, in spite of all that, this sad and troublesome world has been unable to find true peace. For let's face it, turmoil and unrest is everywhere. It's in us, near us, around us, and indeed beyond us. It dominates and overshadows this world and broken world as it is. Wherever you look, there is an absence of personal peace, family peace, local peace, national peace, international peace. It was William James Durant, the American historian and philosopher, who said that by his calculation, in the last 3,500 years, there has been less than 300 years that could be called peaceful in the world. I don't have to convince you, do I? This is a very troublesome world. There is much pain and uncertainty. There are wars and rumors of wars. There is the reality of terrorism. Peoples and nations and governments are afraid and untroubled. On a national level, this is a very anxious society. It's a very anxious times for the United Kingdom. There are debts that feels like they will drown us. There are timetables, demands, deadlines hanging over our heads. There is an increase of intolerance, prejudice, and persecution of those who hold a different view from the masses. There is a lack of forgiveness. Instead, the call for retribution and punishment to those who offend us is ever growing louder. Politicians ignore divine truths and passing man-made laws for the sake of popularity, political correctness, power and approval, only to create havoc, moral confusion, and no doubt eventually God's final judgment. Violence and disregard for life, Property and authority is daily ever with us. Prisons are full to capacity, and there is more to come. Oh yes, there are people who are suffering deeply. And at the same time, family disintegration is endemic. There are relationships that are strained. Divorce is everywhere as an easy option. And where divorce doesn't take place, marriage is still full of conflict, hostility, and division. Many children who survive abortion are born illegitimate without a married mother or father. And the list goes on and on. And of course, at the bottom of that list, of course, I forgot, personal peace. Or shall I say the lack of it? Everywhere we turn, all these things are happening. Turmoil, heartache, and brokenness. Peace, where can we find it? Well, my friends, I hope that what I have to say this morning will answer that question, because I know there is not a single individual who is here today who is not longing for peace. I don't care where you come from. I don't know from which background you come from. I don't know whether you are rich or poor, black or white, Scottish, Spanish, Dutch, whatever. All of us are longing for this word, this thing which seems to be so absent, peace. My friends, the peace that we need, only God can give it to us. Of course, many do claim to have secured or won or have peace, but it never lasted. If you remember, the prime minister who took us to war came from that meeting, so-called, with Adolf Hitler. Was it Chamberlain, was it? Yes. Peace, remember? Days later, it was all in shatters. Everything had gone. Some years ago, I read an assessment of history that asked the question, how many peace treaties have they been signed and have been broken through human history? Answer, all of them. All of them. Now, people settle for a minimalist definition of peace, a moment of calm. What are you going to do? I'm just going to have a nice cup of tea and have some peace. Or a moment of tranquility, or a brief truce. Historians have defined peace in the world as the lull in the battle when everybody stops to reload. And I would know this, having been in a war conflict in Afghanistan. We used to watch the Taliban walking from one side of the field to another. In the fields, behind the secure line, they will have their rifles and their mortars. But if they wanted to actually go to the other side, they will drop it, and then they will walk with nothing in their hands. But as soon as they went to the other side, there was a new set of mortars and rifles to engage again with us. It was a brief lull. We couldn't kill them. Well, not that I would, as a padre. We couldn't touch them. But that was that lull of peace. There was no peace at all. But there is a peace that comes only from God. And that is the peace that Jesus is presenting to. Now, these are not the words of Benjamin. It will be very easy to dismiss my words. After all, what am I? Just a mere mortal. But these are the words of Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, not let it be afraid. There are three questions I want to answer very briefly this morning. And the first question I want to talk to you about is, what is this peace? To begin with, it is something the world cannot give us because the world doesn't have it. There is a perfectly legitimate understanding of this truth. You cannot give what you don't have. The world in which we live says to know peace, we must either do a number of things, either go somewhere, the more exotic the better, just abandon, leave the bad weather behind. Or we need to buy something, maybe a luxury car or a yacht or something a bit which excites you. Or maybe to ingest something, get a prescription for a sedative from the doctor. So go somewhere, buy something, or ingest something. That is the answer that seems to be prevailing in our world today for peace. But my friends, it will not surprise you to hear that the peace that Jesus offers is different from the world's peace. The world's peace is temporary and external. The peace that we crave and the peace which Jesus offers is more than that. It is something that only God, through Christ, can give us. If you read the text from John, Jesus tells us that it is His peace that He gives to us. He alone is the authority to extend this peace. It is unique to Him. You see, my friends, Christ's peace adds something to life rather than subtract something. We are used to think of peace as the absence of conflict, or the absence of stress, or the absence of worry. We tend to think that peace is the absence of all these things which we don't like. And yet, the peace that Jesus is talking about is the Jewish concept of peace, or shalom. Shalom, which basically means the presence of blessing. His presence with us in the midst of the storm and not outside the storm. It is the presence of God within the battle and the pain. In other words, Jesus is offering a peace that is a settled sense of well-being and security. It's unshakable. It is steadfast. It is an inward spiritual reality which the world cannot give to you. And guess what? The world cannot take away from you either. So, what is this peace? But secondly, how is this peace manifested? Well, first of all, we have peace with God. We will never have true peace unless we have peace with God first of all. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now, Paul is telling us that we have peace with God because we have been justified by faith. Now, you might say, Benjamin, what does the word justify basically means? Well, it basically means that we have been pronounced not guilty. That is, we have been declared to be good in God's eyes. Not because we are good, but because Jesus is. Not because we are blameless, but because Jesus is blameless. And our salvation only comes through Him. And when God sees us sinners as we are, He doesn't see the sin in us. He sees Christ and His forgiveness in us. And that is the very essence that gives us that justification, and through that gives us His very peace in the midst of the storm. We need to have faith. And that faith is what basically means our past is dealt with. The sins of the past are forgiven. Our failures have been overcome. We are set free from the failures of the past, and our future is certain. We don't have to fret about eternal life anymore. For Jesus says, whoever believes in me will. Please underline that word, will. It is not guess. It's not ifs, it's not maybes, it's will have eternal life. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. There is a lovely story told many, many years ago in an evangelistic meeting in Ireland. The preacher was explaining what it means to rest in Christ and to trust Him completely in every trial of life. And concluding his message, he repeated several times, and I quote, "It means that in every circumstance you can keep on saying, 'For this I have Jesus. For this I have Jesus.'" The meeting was then open for testimonies, for people to tell their stories. And a young lady who had been at the piano stood up and said, and I quote, "I have to leave very shortly, so I'd like to be the first one to tell the story. Just a few minutes ago, I was handed this telegram. It reads, 'Mother is very ill. Take the train home immediately.'" And when I saw these words, I knew that tonight's message was meant for me. My heart looked up and said, "For this I have Jesus." And instantly a peace and strength flooded my soul. And after pausing at a moment, she continued, "I have never traveled very far alone. For this I have Jesus. For all the strains and suspenses that goes with the thought of mother's severe illness, I praise God that for this too I have Jesus." 3 or 4 weeks later, the evangelist received a letter from the same woman, and it read, "Thank you again for the message you gave that day. Life has become an uninterrupted psalm of victory, for I have come to realize that no matter what life brings, for this I have Jesus." My friends, in the midst of the fears of trials, you and I can know the peace of God. And I know that probably here this morning, there's some of you who have a very heavy heart and a troubled life. But can I say to you that the peace of Christ can be your portion today? For such difficult times as this, we too can say we have Jesus with us in our pain, with us in our suffering, with us in our sorrow, with us in the bewilderments, with us in our struggles and uncertainties, and yes, even with us in death. We have Jesus. My final and brief point I want to bring is the final question: how do we get this peace? I'm afraid to tell you the life coaches will not help you this morning. I know that some of us perhaps like to have life coaches, you know. You pay a fortune. They're very expensive, by the way. But they want to know whether you have had coffee or breakfast in the morning to tell you if you haven't had one. And that will cost you 50 quid. I'm being flippant, I know. But life coaches will not cure that. No psychiatrists, no drugs, no alcohol, or any form of escapism. No meditation or drugs or achievements. The peace we yearn for is something that only can be found in Christ. What we need this morning is not something. We need someone. And I know his name. And you too know him. Shall I mention his name? Jesus. So, do we understand that Jesus came to earth in order to free us from sin? Do we understand that it was because of us that he died? Do we understand that his sacrifice can open the door of eternal life? If so, are we willing to act in faith? Are we willing to trust Him? His peace can be our portion. Let me conclude with a story. Now, I have told this story before. So, for those who have heard this story before, hopefully it will encourage you to hear it again. But for those who haven't heard it, let me finish with this true story, a familiar and well-known story. Horatius Spafford, who was born in 1828 and died in 1888, was a wealthy Chicago lawyer with a thriving legal practice. He had a beautiful home, a wife, four daughters, and a son. He was a very devout Christian and a faithful student of the scriptures. And his circle of friends included the likes of Dwight L. Moody, Ira Sankey, and various other well-known Christians of the day. And at the very height of his financial and professional success, Horatio and his wife Anna suffered the tragic loss of their young son. Shortly afterwards, on October the 8th of 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed almost every real estate investment that Spafford had. And in 1873, Spafford scheduled a boat trip to Europe in order to give his wife and daughters a much-needed holiday and time to recover from the tragedy. He also went to join Moody and Sankey on an evangelistic campaign in England. Spafford sent his wife and daughter ahead of him while he remained in Chicago to take care of some unexpected last-minute business. Several days later, he received notice that his family ship had encountered a collision. All four of his daughters drowned. Only his wife survived. And with a heavy heart, Spafford boarded a boat that would take him to his grieving Anna in England. It was on this trip that he penned the moving famous words of the hymn that later on we will all sing as our final hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. He could have said, for this I have Jesus. And I know it is difficult for you to understand how he could write these words in the midst of such tragic events. But you see, my friends, we need to accept that Spafford's faith in Jesus was the reason for such a peace. And this morning, you and I can also have it. And so let me say, in the words of Jesus, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I wonder, do you have it? And if not, do you want it? Let us pray. Our Father, there are no words to describe what the peace of Christ really is. We know it is true, we know it is real, and this morning, broken as we may be, with our joys and sadness, with our triumphs and defeats, with a whole variety of emotions, we come before you. We praise you that while the storms of life may rage and the winds may howl, we can have inward calmness. Help us today always to remember that you're always behind the dark clouds. Let us walk not only in courage, but also in confidence that with you we are never alone. Give us that peace which Jesus promises, his peace which passes all human understanding. And may that peace be ours today. In his name we ask. Amen.